Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it, so you're always getting your new Going In Raw content.
New.
YouTube's been unsubscribing a lot of people lately. Larson, that's the least of their problems. And we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got a ton of great friendos watching this podcast as a live stream right now. We got a pre-show, a post-show tomorrow. We're going to be doing our chat trivia thing that we do. That's a lot of fun with our patrons. Be sure to check out patreon.com/Steven Larson. It's a great way to support Going In Raw. Another great way to support Going In Raw and a free way to support Going In Raw is hopping on the iOS podcast app and leaving us a rating or review. Takes very little time, depending on how, you know, verbose you want to get with your review, I guess.
Yeah, if you're going to say, like, it's good.
Yeah.
It takes, like, 3 seconds.
Muy bueno. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Three set, boom, done.
Yeah.
And get on with your day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very happy about that.
Very.
We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goingin. We got all sorts of great. Look, this is one of our best sellers. We got a couple others here.
Oh, I got Balor Club on.
Yeah, yo, you love that Balor Club
it's very
shirt.
Comfortable
it
shirt.
Is very comfortable. It looks very comfortable.
It fits well. Mm-hmm. It's very comfortable.
I wore this one at the gym today, the Baron Corbin, not this one.
Oh, okay. I was like, why are you stinky, sweaty
no,
shirt to
man.
Work?
No, I wore our Slow Wolf shirt today.
Did you get anybody compliment you on your shirt?
No.
Any odd glances?
No, you know what's crazy? I was telling you this off camera. So I went to the gym today, and I figured that, you know.
Be inundated with people whose New Year's resolutions was
getting right.
Shape.
I thought people do that. Like, I love to follow our friend Brett from Couch Shop.
Yes.
On the Snapchat and on the Twitter. And he always at the beginning of every year, he always talks about, you know, all the noobs who come out and they last about 2 weeks and then everything goes back to normal. That didn't even happen this time. Hmm. Like I go in there and there's like the same five people that are usually.
How early did you go in?
I went in at 8:30.
Oh.
Yeah. So I mean I know people got work and stuff. It's probably I would think that maybe the people who are new, they go after work.
Could be.
You know, I would think that's the thing.
We'll find out tonight when I go to the gym after work.
Right.
See if I'm even able to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a pleasant surprise. But then again, I want my gym to stay open. So
true.
I want there to be some hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
They need their stuff.
Yes.
Because it's freaking, Planet Fitness, man. They don't charge crap. They charge like 10 bucks a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's cheap.
Is there
cheap.
One of those near our prospective office? There is a gym on the other side of...
There's one near you and there's one near me. I don't think there's one in between us.
Between. Well, yeah. So much for that option.
That'd be cool if there was. Maybe there will be. We should suggest that to somebody.
Okay.
Maybe that'll work.
Call up Mr. Planet Fitness.
Call up Mr. Fitness, yeah.
Captain Anyways, Planet Fitness.
Captain. Captain Planet Fitness. Anyways, so we're talking about Raw today?
I don't know.
How was your New Year? Was it good?
It was mellow.
I went to friggin' Disneyland.
Yeah,
man.
That sounds like talking the opposite
about
of
not
mellow.
Mellow.
It was mellow. Went to a friend's house. Was home by 9, was in bed by 11. It was
so you
great.
Didn't even see the ball drop?
No, I've seen it before.
Whoa.
How different is it going to be from any other year? Not.
You never know, man. I mean, things could be different.
I went golfing yesterday. That was fun.
That's cool.
I did not do well at all. I told you, like, the first shot I hit off the tee was spectacular.
Sounds terrible.
Nearly perfect.
You always say how great golfing is, but that doesn't sound like an enjoyable experience.
I enjoy it, but yeah. I did poorly.
Yeah. It doesn't sound. See, I don't want to do poorly. I want to excel in everything I do. That's the only thing.
Well, you need to practice things before. You just can't start doing things and excelling.
Practice. Listen, you're talking about practice. Anyways, let's talk about Raw. I enjoyed Raw, but then I had kind of a wonky experience. Like, I watched the first 2 hours last night, like, after I got back from Disney. It was like an 8-hour drive. And then the last hour this morning. So I don't know. The highlights were great. I thought the highlights were really good.
The highlights were really good. I don't know. This felt, I felt. Every minute of the 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, but I watched it all in one sitting.
Yeah, man, that's too much.
If you break it up, I find that Raw is far more enjoyable.
You need to break it up. Ideally.
I watched the last half hour.
Ideally, you'd break up Raw over the span of like a week.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, or at least you watch it in 3 1-hour chunks.
Yeah, just watch it on their YouTube page. It's in good 3-minute chunks. You don't really need more than that.
No.
But we're, you know, this is our job. So that's what we
have to pay attention to all of it.
exactly. But I thought the highlights, I thought there was some really good stuff. I thought, for example, Alexa Bliss versus Asuka, that was a hell of a match.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was a fantastic match.
I thought the whole Alexa Bliss storyline for the whole show was pretty solid.
Roman Reigns versus
that was good.
Samoa Joe, they put on a pay-per-view level quality match.
Yeah, that was good. The interactions of Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan,
good. Oh, those were fantastic.
Good.
I mean, the end was crap.
Oh, the end was awful.
The freaking club.
Yeah.
Bullet Club is real, man, and they showed up last night.
Michael Cole literally said Bullet Club without actually saying Bullet Club, didn't he? He said they formed a faction in Japan. That was one of the most dominant factions of pro wrestling history.
He talked about it like it was a Jeopardy question.
I know.
This faction from Japan.
I know. And then Corey Graves referred to Balor, Gallows, and Anderson as the club.
You know, man, it wouldn't surprise. Like, I was just waiting for Booker T. Oh, yeah, Bullet Club, here they come, man. Booker T does not care. That's a great thing. I can hear him talk. Oh, look at these guys, Bullet Club. They're coming down. They're ready to fight.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all about Bullet Club tonight. They're back. I can hear Booker T saying something like that. But he didn't.
No, he didn't.
But he didn't. He probably doesn't even know about Bullet Club. Who's that, Bullet Club? What? Anyways, the episode kicked off with Alexa Bliss backstage. I love Alexa Bliss lately.
Yeah.
I think she's been really good.
Although, has done more to sell Asuka's dominance than pretty much anybody else.
I'm telling you. They totally did the thing that you said they were going to do last week.
Yeah.
With her and Nia Jax.
Yeah.
She said choose between him and me.
Ultimatum.
Yeah.
Issued.
Nia Jax said, I don't know. I got chicken soup and it's getting cold.
Yeah.
Can't deal with you right now.
Yep.
Anyways, Alexa Bliss was backstage.
She goes to Kurt Angle and says, I don't want to face Asuka tonight.
Right.
That last week she kicked me in the head. I don't want to deal with that.
Here's my only thing. And it kind of applies to the match. It wasn't until the second half of the match that Asuka started actually connecting. That was the one weak spot I thought from last week, was that when Asuka kicked Alexa Bliss, Alexa like put her hand up and the foot hit here.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nearly close enough to look like she actually hit her in the head.
Oh.
When they replayed it, they cut on the action. So then it made it look more like it.
It a little bit.
And yeah. I know, obviously, look, they don't want Alexa to get freaking concussed.
Well, they don't want anybody to get kicked in the head. Legit.
Exactly. So, but I know, I thought the second half of that match, and we'll talk about it in detail. Yeah. The second half was a lot more effective than the first half.
Yeah. Anyways, Kurt says, no, a match happens. But I got something I got to do. He walks out to the ring, gives some details about the women's Royal Rumble.
Mm.
It will be 30 women.
Yes.
It will be over the top.
Yes.
Ropes. And the winner will get a title shot at Mania. All good things.
Yeah,
all
very great exciting. Things. Yeah, 30, man. That leaves a lot of... Because I was really hoping they weren't going to go to like 20.
Yeah.
Oh, it's women, so we're going to do 20. No, man, 30.
There's what, 19 women
Screw
on the
it.
Main
do,
roster?
Screw it. Do 50.
I want to say there's 19 women
Bring
on the
in all of
currently.
Shine and Stardom and all that. And Women of Honor. There's 19 women on on main roster.
I think
we're doing counting now on Wikipedia. I'm so tempted to start shouting out numbers.
20. There's 20 if you take the champions out of the equation.
Oh, that's great, man. So a couple from NXT. So
there's
obviously.
Well, there's 20 if you take the champions out, and I'm guessing both women's titles are going to be defended, so it'll be 18.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
So there's 12.
Oh, man.
At large.
That's great.
Spots in the Rumble, which would be great. So you got to think.
Trish and Lita have to be in it, right? Or one of them.
One of them.
One of them has to be in there.
So you'd think, yeah, some former women's divisions greats.
Beth
women's
Phoenix, division maybe. Greats. Maybe. Beth Phoenix.
Some people from NXT. Someone from NXT.
Christian.
maybe anyway. Some surprise entrance that we wouldn't even thought of.
Yeah, you never know, man. All sorts of great.
Nonetheless, Asuka's going to win, and I'm telling you, the reason they're doing this Alexa Bliss Nia Jax thing is so Nia gets a title match at the Rumble to keep her out of the Rumble.
Wait, say one more time. What now?
Nia's going to get a title match at the Rumble, and okay. So she won't be in the Rumble.
That's oh, okay, yeah, it could be. That could be.
And that's why they're pushing forward with this Alexa Nia storyline right now.
Yeah, I really want Asuka to win the Rumble, though. It'd be a bummer if she
didn't. I think she will.
I just think they're telegraphing the crap out of it. I mean, they're literally just talking about it, you know. Oh, she's going to win the Rumble. She's going to win the Rumble.
Yeah.
I hope she does.
Yeah, she should.
She definitely should. But then yeah, it could be a swerve. Somebody else is going to win it. Like, I don't know. Liv Morgan's going to win it.
I don't really think that's going to happen.
Anyways, I don't know why I brought
I think there's like zero chance of that happening.
Brought the questions thread up. That was weird. Anyways,
especially if you take Nia Jax out of the equation, it's really if it's not Asuka, then it should be Becky Lynch.
Kurt Angle is getting freaking lippy with Alexa Bliss too. He was like, it's not title match yet.
Yes.
And then he was like, move along.
Yeah.
Move along.
That's something I have to do because they were in like gorilla position.
Right, exactly. Then we got the cool Nickelback song, and then what happened?
Well, I said he came out to the ring and delivered details about the Women's Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
In the happened? Ring, and then the yeah. bar came in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were hot because they lost their tag team.
The bar wanted their tag team rematch. They said Jason Jordan didn't deserve to be in the match. Jason mm-hmm. Jordan comes out and says, if I didn't deserve to be in this match, what, I got this belt on.
Which is a good point. People still have the Pavlovian thing about booing him. I love Jason Jordan.
He's been doing really good work the
He's
last
been
four
doing
weeks.
Really, really good
Three
work.
Or 4 weeks.
I think I texted you this, man. He could be, he can, I'm on board. I kind of always have been a little bit. He could be a big star.
Yeah.
Like I said that a while ago, but then when they started doing the Kurt Angle stuff and he was getting whiny, I was like, man, I'm not sure how that's working. But I'm on board now.
I'll tell you then. Tranquilo.
Don't.
See how it plays out.
Give me Tranquilo.
And it's played out well.
Yeah.
He's doing good work.
Yes.
Cesaro especially was really getting on Kurt about playing favorites. Why are you listening to us as we record show?
Didn't do that.
Playing favorites, giving his son opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a match, Jason Jordan versus Cesaro.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins comes out and says, hold on, partner.
Tranquilo.
Yes, teammate. What you do affects me.
Seth was being kind of a dick to Jason Jordan.
He was
Jordan.
Being, I mean, he concluded his promo saying, as far as I'm concerned, I'm only out here, he said, I'll be in your corner.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm only out here to watch you lose.
Whoa, man. That was
rough.
I don't
have to like my partner, but we have to have our mutual interests in mind.
Yeah.
So what you do, Jason Jordan, affects Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Like, that's a jerk. I feel like everybody's being kind of a jerk to Jason Jordan, but then Jason Jordan's kind of a jerk in the first place,
yeah.
which is so appealing.
Yeah.
That bit with him and Seth and Roman in the locker
great.
Room was fantastic.
Especially Seth's reaction after Jason Jordan walked off frame.
It was awesome. It was kind of like your reaction when I say something that's like you don't know how to respond to it.
Yeah.
Like, it was fantastic. Let me get my actual notes out.
Yeah, so right after that, we got Jason Jordan versus Cesaro. They gave this match a ton of time.
Oh, and again, it was a great match. This is a fantastic match. Jason Jordan ended up going over.
Yeah.
The crowd pops for his matches because they're so good.
Yeah.
But they don't. But they hate him.
Yeah.
That's a weird conundrum.
It is.
I'm trying to think of somebody else. I mean, people pop for Seth Rollins back when he was a jerk.
Yeah.
They pop for his matches.
Yeah.
And then they realize, oh, yeah, that's why we're supposed to
Jason
hate this
Jordan
guy.
Is a better finisher.
Yeah, what is this finisher again?
It's like a pop-up neck breaker. I know you like neck breakers.
Oh, man, it's a neck breaker, and it's a pop-up
How come he's not
breaker?
Doing the angle slam? That should be his finisher.
Because he doesn't want to be like his dad, man. He wants to be not his dad. I love when he came out and he says, Kurt Angle doesn't know the first thing about playing favorites. I was like, when he first started, I was like, uh-oh, what is he going to say he doesn't know the first thing of? It's never a good thing to say, oh, Larson doesn't know the first thing about, regardless of what it is.
Yeah. And he says that, and it's funny.
I know. About playing favorites. And the great thing is Kurt Angle selling Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
Because it's always this.
Well, it's either that. It's either proud father or embarrassed father.
It's so fewer these days proud father.
Well, it was proud father after he won the match last week.
Yeah, it was.
Which the bar mentioned. But yeah, it's one of two. There's no middle ground.
Usually when he wants to assert himself if he wants to shout his mouth off, spout his mouth off, even in a confident manner, like, hey, look, I'm great. Kurt's like, oh God, just shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't know. I like it. I think it's good. I kind of wonder what it would have been like if I guess we heard rumors that it was going to be Chad Gable at some point. I don't know if they ever actually seriously considered that.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that was like supposed to be the obvious mm-hmm. thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they went Jason Jordan, which was awesome. But I wonder how things would have been different with Chad Gable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's much more of, I don't know, he has a grasp on wrestling characters, I think, better than Jason Jordan did in the first place. And I wonder if it would have been further, if it would have been advanced further along.
I feel like right now, Jason Jordan, in terms of his character work,
mm-hmm.
is doing just as well, if not better, than Chad Gable is right now.
Yeah, but Chad Gable's been given crap.
He's been given crap.
He doesn't even, like, they don't even know what they want to do with Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable in terms of who they are.
But anyways, this match, Cesaro's working over Jason Jordan's leg.
That was a real fun match, too.
Had injured a while back.
Yeah.
And kind of out of nowhere, Jason Jordan hits his finisher to win. Mm-hmm. Seth interjects himself in the match to help out Jason Jordan at one point.
Mm-hmm.
To keep I almost said Sheamus and Cesaro is one word.
Yeah.
Sheamus from getting involved.
Yeah.
Fun match, a lot of time.
Yeah. At the end, too, so Jason Jordan goes over, and they're on the outside. And Seth, so what was Seth exactly trying to do? He had his arm.
I think he was just raising Jason Jordan's arm.
He was trying to raise his arm, right?
Yeah.
And he was just doing this, and Jason Jordan didn't see him.
Well, I missed that.
Oh, you didn't see that part?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit more.
Was it when they were outside the ring, or was it?
It was they're outside the ring.
I just kind of saw it happening. I assumed it was just Seth raising Jason Jordan's arm.
No, it was a moment. It was a thing because Seth gave a big look on his face.
Gotcha.
So he was like trying. I think he was going to try to raise his arm or something, and he was holding his arm up like this, and Jason Jordan completely no-sold him.
Hmm.
But he didn't like look at him. But it was obvious that he was supposed to look at him and then respond to what he was doing. Hey,
yeah.
we're teammates. So it was a little bit more separation there. So that was
not
good.
Not a cohesive unit.
No, not really. But I kind of feel like some of that's on Seth also.
Yeah.
Like, what, are you just going to stand there and do this, look like an idiot? Like, go up and say, hey, dude, hey, I'm doing this. It could be he just has a crappy peripheral vision.
Could be.
You know, some people don't have a good periphery.
No.
I'm a master of the periphery.
That's what you say.
Yeah. Like, I can see what you're doing right now.
I'm just sitting
here. You're just sitting here like this.
Yeah, but I didn't change my position from when you were looking
at
me.
But I knew what it was.
Because you saw me do it before you even looked at your peripheral
Expert periphery vision. Top of the class.
See, right now I can still see you.
Right. Can you see what I'm doing right now?
You're looking at me.
Yeah. You see? You're learning. Next up, we had a Roman Reigns interview. He had a little fire under him, huh?
Yeah.
This is decent.
He didn't like Samoa Joe.
No, he was listing off. He was doing a top 10 list of...
Airing of grievances. Late Festivus for Roman Reigns.
Was power ranking things that irk him about Samoa Joe.
Yes.
Late Festivus. Oh, man. Next up, we had a really bad Sasha Banks promo. You know what, man? It's not fair to them. I'm not going to say it was a bad
one. No. The setup for these in general is bad.
They're so bad. Like, you can't... It's like an...
The crappy thing, I'm sure, is that they tell them, okay, come to... Our Women's Royal Rumble announcement set at this time.
Yeah.
They walk up there 5 minutes prior. They're headed a script. They have to memorize it and then say their lines.
It's so bad. And it's so bad. And then she's like runs through her words. Like I'm pretty sure she said at some point Women's Royal Rumble match, but all I heard was Wem Rumble. And it's terrible. Like they don't, it's so bad. I hate when they do these things. There is a reason that they stopped doing them during the Attitude Era after things were so cheesy.
Yeah.
And there's a reason you shouldn't go back to doing them.
Yeah. No, they should do on main press conferences.
Yes.
Like say beginning the show, all right, Sasha Banks has an announcement at this part of the show, press conference.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Like they do in NXT.
Yeah.
No script.
Yeah.
Just say you have 15 seconds. What you have to say in those 15 seconds is I'm going to be in the Rumble. How you get there is up to you.
You know, dude, here's the thing. What do wrestlers do a lot of when they're not on TV, not on the road, or not wrestling? They're on the road a lot.
They talk about wrestling.
They're on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Right? They're
talking
in their car.
About wrestling.
Yeah.
It's the understanding I get.
Right. So you're on the road. You know that you have, we're heading to Raw right now, and I've been emailed the program for my bits, and my bit is 30 seconds in front of the set to talk about the Rumble. That's my bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm sure
in your 3-hour car ride to your next show, you can come with 30 seconds. You don't.
You're riding with your buddies. We know this because there's literally a show called Ride Along.
Yeah, they usually.
And so you all can be generating ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Not Joe Schmoes at the freaking, some
low level writer.
Some low level writer
coming up to you with a script 5 minutes before he's
trying to
shoot.
Be freaking Martin Scorsese or Quentin Tarantino. You know, no man, let these people do their thing.
Yeah.
You have what? How many women were on the roster? On the Raw roster? Like
12, I think.
12, okay. You have 12 people. 12 of the most elite people. When you're going out and getting people, you're not just getting wrestlers. You're getting people who know how to form their personalities.
You're getting performers.
You're getting performers. Let them perform. Let them do their stuff.
Exactly.
I don't know. And if they want help, say we've got people to help you.
Exactly.
You want a starting point? We can do that for you. You need
help?
Do you
want bullet points? Do you need beats you need to hit?
Right. We can do that for you.
We can do that for you.
Not just, hey, low-level schmo, come up with some crap for her to say, and then shove it in her face 15 seconds before she goes live. Oh, it's terrible.
It's not a good way to develop characters.
It's not. We got a Bailey one later on.
Yeah, that wasn't good either.
And I'm not crapping
and
on
that. And the thing
them.
Is, right before the Bailey one, we had an absolutely incredible Samoa Joe interview.
And I guarantee nobody wrote that from him.
No.
No way, man. I'm telling you.
Samoa Joe is the best.
He's literally the best.
He is best. Anyways, before we get to that, next we had Bray Wyatt versus Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews was joined by Titus Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Dana Brooke was doing some good stuff.
I love Dana Brooke. She's great.
This was kind of a more competitive match than I anticipated it being.
Yeah. Did you see, man, I want to see this faction in WWE, man. You see the New Year's pictures? Apollo Crews,
yeah.
Moose, and Ricochet all hanging out. Give that me that faction in WWE. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh,
what
man.
Do you think? Did the hat fit or not?
No, man. I'm with Moose on that one.
Yeah.
Hat didn't fit.
Give people a background of this.
Well, there
they were at a New Year's party, the three of them.
Right.
And there's a picture Apollo Crews put on Twitter. With,
I think this is a different New Year's party. Everybody else was at a different one.
Oh.
Like John Morrison.
Like all the other wrestlers.
Rusev. Yeah, they were all in the same party. Huh. Like every, like the entire, besides Sienna wasn't there, but like everybody from Impact was there and like a bunch.
Oh, it must be the Nashville one then, because that's where Rusev lives.
Okay, yeah, it's probably that one then. Yeah, a bunch of people were there. I don't know whose party Apollo Crews and Moose and Ricochet were at.
Yeah.
But they're at a party. And then, yeah, there was like a hat.
Yeah, Apollo Crews posted a picture on Twitter of him with a New Year's, Happy New Year's party hat.
Right.
Saying it fit.
Yeah.
And both Moose and Ricochet were saying, no, that did not
fit. Yeah, Moose was saying, this picture is from the front. You need a side view to see it actually fit on your head. It just didn't fit.
Yeah.
Anyways, I gotta get back to watching Impact, man, just for Moose. I'll just watch the Moose.
Oh, Moose
segments.
Is great.
He's the best.
Anyways, Bray Wyatt.
Did you see on his wish list for 2018?
Yeah, PWG.
Walter. He wants to fight Walter in PWG. We're going to that one.
Okay.
I don't care what it is, we're going to it.
All right.
Anyways.
Wyatt picked the win with Sister Abigail. Not a huge surprise, but it was a fairly competitive match.
Yeah.
Good showing for Apollo Crews.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, the end was kind of like a bit wonky. Like Bray Wyatt just hit the Sister Abigail.
Well,
yeah,
Apollo Crews was setting Bray up for his powerbomb. I got to sneeze.
Uh-oh.
And Bray reversed it to Sister Abigail.
Ah! Oh, I tried to train it. Oh, God.
Excuse me.
You're fired.
Afterwards, Matt Hardy promo. Still the same wrinkled Pete the Cloth in the background, although they're shooting light through it, so you don't see the wrinkles quite as bad. Kind of the same manner he has been doing, but they did this neat effect when he did his laugh.
Well, he said, Hardys are everywhere.
And then there is suddenly hundreds of Hardys. They did like a 10x10 split screen.
Right, exactly. Bray's reaction to it was good, too. Like sometimes I feel like Bray...
Confusion, and it seemed legitimate.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like Bray doesn't really know how to respond to this stuff because it's so... Like, you think this is kind of a dream feud matchup thing, but until they start doing the pre-film stuff, it's going to be really...
If this is the extent
the balance is really off.
Of the creative on this, then they're really dropping the ball.
Yeah, I know.
They have such a great opportunity to do something interesting and fun, but just to distill the broken / woken Matt Hardy character to him just laughing endlessly...
Yeah, I know.
...is silly.
Yeah.
There's so much more to be done with it, and they're not doing it.
I know.
Because, Bray looked kind of, I think, kayfabe confused,
mm-hmm.
but also shoot confused about how he got to this position in his career.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Next, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax backstage. Nia is walking towards Alexa carrying a Tupperware full of what turns out to be chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
Alexa says to her, Nia, I want you in my corner for my match tonight against Asuka.
Yeah.
And Nia says, well, Enzo's really sick. He's got the flu,
yeah,
which was true. He had the flu. He had to go to the hospital, get some IV.
Oh, man.
Fluid. And so Nia says, I got to take the soup. And Alexa gives Nia an ultimatum. It's either Enzo or Alexa.
Yeah, that came to a head really quick.
Yeah. There's very little build to that.
not a lot of build to that ultimatum.
And Nia says, well, the soup's getting cold. See you later.
Hey, you know what, though? Props to Alexa for really selling the moment. Because between that... Like, if I known that the match was going to be, that she was going to be selling that match the way she sold it, then it makes a little bit more sense for her to give that ultimatum.
Oh, yeah.
She was crapping her pants during the match.
I thought at a couple points that she was going to roll out and take a count out loss.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
She just did not want to deal with
it. And the crowd was really eating into her, like saying boo. Every time she'd get out of the ring, they'd just get sick of it. And then she would like freak out. Like, she would like look like she was freaked out by the crowd too. She was just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, look, as long as they keep on booking Nia Jax to be like sort of a monster in the ring, I'm cool with her being like, freaking all hung up on Enzo. I just don't know if I want to see like Enzo kiss anybody on camera.
Oh, I agree with that.
That's kind of gross. I don't want to see his tongue. Ugh, and somebody else.
Ew, ugh, ugh, ugh. Ugh.
Anyways,
moving on. No, Alexa took the loss. Oscar won with an armbar.
Yeah, you said Oscar. Here's one crazy thing between Alexa Bliss and Oscar.
I ran Oscar into armbar.
Oscar. Mia Rumble. This is one thing that bugged me. Is that, so there was a commercial break during this match, right?
Yeah.
And before we go to commercial break.
Oh, Asuka's dominating. We come back and Alexa's like on the verge of winning. And they made it seem like it was one move that completely turned the tide.
What the hell was
that?
I mean, granted, they gave us a replay, say this happened during commercial.
But it seemed like just one thing.
I know. That was dumb. Yeah. I don't like that. No. If you're going to go to commercial,
do it,
then just mill about, do what you're doing.
A non-important story beat in the match. Agreed.
Exactly. Not the pivotal turning point in the match.
But anyway, it didn't matter because Asuka won.
Hey, I can't say enough good things about this match, though. I thought it was a really good match. I told you this earlier. Alexa Bliss did more for Asuka in this match than I think creative has done for Asuka her entire time since her call up. Alexa Bliss was fantastic. She's the champion, and she sets, you know, the bar, if you will.
Yeah.
And she was selling Asuka the way everybody should be selling Asuka. It was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I told you before we started, I thought that is how Asuka's match against Emma should have played out.
Mm-hmm.
Where Emma was scared of Asuka. That was kind of the whole problem with Asuka's the build to her debut, was that no one seemed scared of her.
I know, exactly.
And that needed to be part of
the
equation.
If everybody was selling her arrival the way Alexa Bliss sold her match last night, like coming down the ramp with that, oh my God, this sucks.
Yep.
Then, she'd be in a much better, I mean, she's already in a good spot. She literally just pinned the champion or made the champion tap out clean last night with an arm bar. So it was fantastic. Next up, we had, you already kind of mentioned this amazing, amazing Samoa Joe promo.
Gosh,
interview.
He's so good.
With Renee Young at one point. He says, look what I did to the Shield. Look what I did to Dean Ambrose. Now he's at home on a couch.
A stay-at-home husband living off his wife's paychecks.
Of course, is Renee Young. And she says,
and he says it like this to her.
I know.
To her face.
Right in her face.
The second week in a row he's done that.
And she did the whole thing.
Oh, it was great.
It was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it has
And by
to
the
be.
End of it, like, Samoa Joe is basically screaming.
Oh, God,
the intensity.
Oh, man.
Man, he is the best.
Put that guy in a Tarantino movie. Can he be like a freaking Klingon in the new Star Trek Tarantino
movie?
Great. That'd be great. I'm telling you. You know, Idris Elba was in that last one, but he was under, like, five layers of crap makeup, so you couldn't get any semblance of him as a villain. What the heck is that crap?
He's such an awesome actor.
Oh, man.
Incredibly charismatic.
Dude, give me that guy.
Put a ton of makeup on him.
Oh, yeah. Give me him as the next con.
Yeah.
You kidding me? Or
oh,
like
man.
That. Right?
Oh.
I mean, Idris Elba for everything, dude.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Anyways.
So great Samoa Joe interview. We followed up with another lousy promo.
Yeah. I'm going to hug my way through the Royal Rumble. This crap. Come on. Terrible.
Yeah, the format doesn't work.
Press conferences.
That's where they just have like a podium set up.
Yeah.
And say throughout the show, we're going to learn who's going to be in the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Just have entrants come up, give them 15, 30 seconds.
Let me ask something.
Press conference style, take a question or two. I think that'd be great.
Do you think, you know, they were doing the Titus Worldwide press conferences, but with Mike, it was just Mike Rome?
Yeah.
Was that is that a shot at New Japan?
Oh, no, I didn't look at it.
Look at it that way either, but now that we're bringing it up, I'm like, I wonder if WWE, if Vince thinks that that's cheesy for New Japan to do that. And so he's like, it'd be funny.
I just always thought they were kind of, Titus Worldwide is kind of, it's like it was based on like sports.
Yeah.
You know, agents and stuff like
right,
that.
Yeah.
That's just how I took
Taking
that.
Taking the piss out of that.
Or, you know, where agent's client will sign a huge contract.
Right, yeah,
press
yeah.
conference with the agent there.
I always find
it's
goofy when they have a press conference for like a high schooler.
Oh, when they're announcing where they're going to play college football or something
right,
like that.
Right, exactly.
It seems
yeah.
a bit much.
It is a bit much, yeah.
There's a lot of theatrical, you know, like a lot of them do some little theatrical stuff too.
Mm-hmm. So cheesy. Next up.
Next. Braun Strowman taking on Rhino.
Crowd wanted something out of Rhino, man. They love Rhino.
Yeah.
ECW.
Rhino, of course, was accompanied to the ring by Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
Not much of a match because Braun was working over Rhino pretty good. Slater got up on the apron. Braun got out of the ring, got on the mic, and said, all right, you got a choice. You can sit on the mat Stand on the mat and shut your mouth.
Or throw hands with your partner.
Or come in the ring and take these hands or something like that.
Yeah,
he's going to lump him up, beat him down.
Take these hands. Oh, man. Remind me of that next time we're at the bar and somebody comes up to me.
Oh, yeah.
Take these hands.
So Slater gets in the ring. It's kind of a handicap match. Strowman dispatches of Slater, pins Rhino after power slam. Then he power slams Slater. Mm-hmm. Another power slam for Rhino. The crowd is eating it up.
Oh, yeah.
Just egging him on.
And Strowman, dude, I'm telling you, his time, and he mentioned this in that podcast ages ago with Stone Cold, his time in the tough man competition stuff so prepared him for knowing how to work a crowd. And on top of that, just the time he's been in the WWE now, he's obviously learning so quickly how to adapt and improv with the crowd.
Yeah.
God, he's so good. He is I'm telling
so good.
You, man.
He is good. So, and there was this one point where I think he gave two power slams to each of them, and his music started playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of looked around the crowd, kind of looked towards up the ramp, and gave each of them another power slam.
Yeah, that was great.
So I don't know if that was just him making that call or someone screwed up in the back. I don't know. I like to think, because I like Braun a lot.
You like to think that he's just doing,
that he realized, okay, this is a moment to really give the crowd something they want to see. I'm going
to
do it.
If he's starting to take the initiative out there, hopefully it means that he's going to have the stroke to take initiative backstage as well. Give me title. Next up, we have this great bit. Roman Reigns was letting off some steam with Seth Rollins.
Well, Seth went to, I think, more or less said, you know, make sure your emotion, don't let your emotions get the best
of you.
Because if you get DQ'd, you lose that belt.
Because
one of the things Samoa Joe was talking about was how the Shield wanted to all be champions at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And Samoa Joe said, I'm preventing that from happening.
Yeah,
I took out Ambrose. And so Seth, you know, they made sure everything was cool, and Jason Jordan comes in, tries to deliver a bit
of
pep talk.
If the bar is going to come out there and mess with you, no, we have your back. You can believe that.
And then walks out.
And then he walks off in the most obnoxious way possible. They're both
That's
like.
That's what Seth Rollins did.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
It was fun.
This was kind of curious. Braun was walking backstage all sweaty and in a huff, and then Kane
comes up and says, Tranquilo. Says, I have a plan. I have a very good plan.
He's like, you know, I've been working with my campaign manager on a plan to, you know,
sound strategy
to get Brock voted out of that Universal Championship.
So he said to Braun, let's work together to beat Brock.
Monsters don't plan together. They
because
don't scheme.
Because they're the alpha monsters. Well, the thing about alpha, there's only one of them, right?
Yeah, there's only one of them.
And so, of course, Braun says, no, I'm the alpha
monster. He realizes the math is wonky. He says, I'm only alpha monster.
Yeah, and he says, I'm going to get that title off Brock myself.
Yeah.
Kick rocks, Kane.
Exactly. Why is Kane supposed to be some reasonable guy who's thinking and scheming and planning?
He's a politician.
Well,
he's an aspiring politician.
He's an aspiring politician, and he's I mean, can you be considered a politician if you never win an election?
That's why I said aspiring.
I think you can. I think you can be a politician.
Don't you have to win something to be a real politician, though?
Well, no. Then you're just an elected member of government. Then you're a government official. But you can be a politician and never win anything because you're running.
I don't know.
Politicking.
I think you're an aspiring politician until you actually successfully win an election.
Wow, I don't know, man.
That's what I think.
I think there are people out there who have lost. If you raise money.
How about this? No, let me say this. If you run for office 10 times, let me ask you this.
If you get your name on a ballot, you're a politician.
I think you're an aspiring politician. I don't think you're a politician until you actually win.
Because it takes signatures to get your name on the ballot.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But you're not a real politician until you win.
Okay.
You can go to a family reunion and get enough signatures on a petition to get
maybe
on the ballot.
Mine, because my mom has like 12 brothers and sisters in Paraguay.
Braun says no, not going to happen.
I mean, by the same token, I could probably go down to Paraguay and bribe my way into office. Does that make me a politician?
I think so.
Let's see here. Yeah. So, anyways.
So Kurt's backstage. On the phone, talk to somebody. In walks Finn Balor and goes, hey, Kurt, I'm in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I want a chance at the Universal Championship.
So they never got my rematch. And he's totally right. He never got his one-on-one rematch.
Yeah, he never has.
But he seems like he's too good-natured to Finn Balor
to really
like,
make a
stink about
yeah,
it.
Really.
Yeah, really.
And so Kurt says, okay, that's cool, but I thought you had something else to tell me about a six-man tag match you're in later against Elias Mistaraj. Have you found partners?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, did he?
Didn't find any partners.
Bullet Club. Hey, man, look. It's Bullet
for
Club.
Real.
Bullet Club is back. Look at that. They're here from New Japan.
I love this. I wore my Bullet Club shirt in celebration. Here's my laquam.
All right.
Give us a little bit of a build.
Nah, man. Look, you know what? At this point, dude, I will take what I get. I will get what I take.
Just imagine that. I mean, they got a decent pop. Imagine they built to it somewhat. And like Carl Anderson wasn't a pin machine for the months leading up to this.
Okay. You know what my bigger problem is?
What?
They've got those Nerdometer shirts, yeah, which are the nerdiest possible shirts they could possibly have.
If you follow Finn Balor on Twitter, you know he's a bit nerdy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I do like that he was cool with them calling
any other prospective partners nerds.
Nerds, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Finn seemed to get a kick out of that.
Yeah, he seems to be having more fun. Which
yeah,
is good.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I can't decipher if that smile is just, what am I doing here? Or if that smile is, I'm genuinely happy. I think he's a genuinely happy guy, but I think he's also like, man, they are really not using me to my fullest potential here. And he comes out there every night and he sees just how damn over he is.
Yeah.
And this idea that that somebody thinks that he's not, or that he's too small, or whatever the deal is.
Yeah. No, he's definitely taking great pleasure in kind of messing with the idea
over
and on. I mean, he has a shirt that says forever with the letters OVER.
He
red.
Seems to have a good perspective on things.
Yes.
He tweeted something, or I think he tweeted out something like, I was sad to say goodbye to my mom, but I told her.
Oh, for Christmas, when you had to go.
Raw for Christmas. She said, yeah, but on the other hand, you're working on Raw on Christmas. So that's, be happy about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, next up we had Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. This could have easily been the main event.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised it wasn't.
Probably should have been. Because this is a hell of a match. This is a really fun match. Mm-hmm. Pay-per-view level quality match. Of course, Roman Reigns, if he got DQ'd,
lost the title.
He would lose the title, and so that kind of played into the story.
Well, especially in one spot where they're outside. Roman Reigns picks up the ring steps.
Yeah.
And
which you're playing with fire already doing that.
And the ref's like, don't do it. You get DQ'd. And Joe literally said to him, come on, finish me.
Yeah.
Come on, do it.
Yeah.
Just needling him to hit him in the head with those ring steps.
Yeah, it was good.
Reigns doesn't do it. Back in the ring, there's a ref bump because Joe shoves Reigns. Reigns inadvertently hit the ref.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big to-do about that. Joe hits Uranagi after that, gets a two count,
mm-hmm.
and Joe is upset.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because he didn't get three count, because he thought the ref should DQ'd him.
Well, that two count was so, like, dude, Reigns was really, really, he's doing good work these days.
He's
doing really good work these days. He got that shoulder up at like 2.9.
Did you notice, I think it was earlier on this match where Joe was going for a pin, and when Reigns' shoulders wasn't down, so the ref put his hand under it, and Reigns had a shoulder like this, and he just put it out flat,
so both his
shoulders were down, but it was like the most telegraphed thing, because the ref's like,
funny.
Hey, your shoulder's not down,
so he
flopped it down.
That's good.
It was pretty
funny. So anyways, at another point, Joe, there was another bit with the ref where Joe came steaming to the corner, and Reigns had to shove the ref to get him out of the way, and then it's like, oh, God, you know,
but then
that was just to get him out of the way. Anyways, after that, Reigns hit he reverses the Kokini clutch into a spear, gets the win, and keeps his Intercontinental title. And
quality match.
I really love the way Reigns looked at the title, celebrated keeping the title.
Well, he
kissed the title
he put
at
over
one
his
point.
Head. Yeah, he was laying on the ground. He put it over his head. Yeah.
Yeah, and so like he's really making that title into something that he wants.
Like
he wanted
the belt to comfort him.
Yes, be with me, belt. It's like it's like a blanket.
Yes.
Next up, oh crap, I missed this.
What? Oh, Kurt Angle's backstage watching Reigns celebrate.
Oh no, I saw this part.
Oh, okay, and it was you know, the proud father look.
Yeah,
that's what he had.
Yeah, he did.
Paul Heyman comes in. I forgot what Paul Heyman said. Something about there's a conspiracy afoot. And I'm
it's going to be
it.
The year of Beast.
Oh, yeah. In the UFC, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And he said, yeah, it's conspiracy, year of Beast. Anyways. No, I missed the Absolution promo. What was this?
Oh, it was the same as the Sasha and Bayley one.
Oh, really?
It was just the three of them in front of that same set saying they're going to be in the
goodness.
Rumble. All That's
right.
it.
All right.
Next, Drew Gulak came out and read a statement from Enzo, who was laid up with the flu.
Yeah.
Was interrupted by Cedric Alexander. Did you notice a difference in his theme? Didn't have the quiet part. Kicked in right with the beat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then Drew Gulak said, well, Cedric Alexander said, you know, I was supposed to have a Cruiserweight title match tonight. It's not happening, but I'm out here for some competition. Gulak was out with Daivari, so Cedric says, what two of you is going to face me?
Mm-hmm.
Gulak and Daivari, they commiserated and said, we'll be in a tag match if you can find yourself a partner. But since you have no friends around here, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Way to beat. Out comes Gold Dust.
Number one, I mean, Cedric Alexander has friends.
He does.
Yeah. I mean, one of them got arrested. The other one's Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
But I would figure Mustafa Ali come out. Grandma
Talik is Cedric Alexander's
friend. He's friends.
Yeah.
I like what happened much more, though. Gold Dust comes out. Because now you've got some commingling of cruiserweights and a heavyweight.
Yes.
I kind of wouldn't mind seeing Gold Dust on 205 Live to be a cruiserweight.
I think it'd be good because he did that top rope move.
I know! That was so much fun. Kinda the crowd like was eating this up, too.
Weird moonsault crossbody deal.
And here's the dude. Here's the kind of thing that we haven't even really talked about. Look, we've talked about the idea of commingling, you know, the cruisers with the heavyweight guys. But doing it in this fashion is really interesting. Goldust, a guy that everybody's going to love, a guy that nobody's going to expect. He comes out for no obvious reason and then puts on a hell of a show, is only going to make people have a fonder idea in their heads, a fonder response, I guess, to the 205 Live guys. It was a great idea.
It was. Cedric picked up the win over Gulak after another awesome lumbar check.
Yeah, it looked great.
So I don't know when this cruiserweight title match is going to happen. I actually hope they wait till the Rumble to do it.
Yeah, me too.
Give it time.
I know. And then Cedric Alexander is being built so well right now, and he's a big part of it. Like, he's doing really, really good work on the mic in the ring. And so I think that more cool stuff like this could build his win if they're going to have him pick up the title. I still don't know they're going to do that. But
yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, that was good.
Next, a really brief shot of the club walking backstage towards the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I only mention it because Corey Graves said the club.
The club.
This trio. Yeah. The club.
Hey, look, man, it's Bullet Club. They're coming to the ring now, Corey. It's Bullet Club. I'm telling you, that'd have been great if Booker D just didn't give a shit.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. So Elias comes out, drops a promo.
Talks about hooking up with these amazing musical artists that he's, you know.
The Miztourage.
The Miztourage.
So they sing what's the song called?
Odd Line Sing.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
And then Elias has enough of it because it was awful.
But he was so nice about it.
Yeah.
Because what's his face? Stupid Wyatt, Bo Dallas.
Oh,
was
whistling.
Like, he was doing the cowbell so loud. And Elias says, okay, hold on a second.
And so he starts singing his own song. He's interrupted by Gallows and Anderson's music.
Well, he ran down the rock. He did his own version of Odd Line Sing, I think is what it's called. And you know, to clown the rock because they're in Miami.
Yes.
And then they're interrupted.
Elias versus the Rock at Mania confirmed.
Yeah. That could actually be. Yeah, then they're interrupted by the club.
Gallows and Anderson, and then Balor came out. The club, too sweet in the ring.
Oh, it was too sweet everywhere, man.
Some bad TV direction. Missed the moment of them raising their hands and the too sweet happening.
Yeah,
we saw them still, you know, like too sweeting, but we didn't see connection.
I don't know. Some of this TV direction is just so bad sometimes.
Sometimes
it's really good. Sometimes it's really bad. I'm not going to crap all over Kevin Dunn. He does some good work. He does some bad work.
Yeah.
At some very crucial points, he does some very bad work.
Yes.
Let's see here.
Balor picked up the win, pinning Bo Dallas after a magic killer from Gallows and Anderson, followed up by a coup de grace.
Yeah, it was fun. I like how they did their magic killer and left Bo Dallas like pretty far away.
Oh, Finn had no problem reaching him, though.
I know he did, but that was a bit of a challenge right there.
Yeah.
Next
up, professionals. I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Oh yeah. Well, they've traveled around the world together. By that I mean Japan. Next up in our main event segment.
Yeah,
Paul Heyman
comes out with Brock Lesnar, who has kind of a beard.
Mm-hmm.
Hypes up their match, saying they said a lot that Kane had never faced Brock Lesnar before. I don't know if that's exactly true, but he's definitely not faced him in any sort of like high-profile title match.
Yeah, I mean, Kane hasn't been relevant since Brock Lesnar had ever arrived in the WWE. Because
no, Kane was relevant in 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he was relevant in 1998, and that was kind of it. Like Hell in a Cell.
What old pay-per-view did we watch?
From Hell in a Cell until Mania 14, that's Kane's relevancy right
there. What pay-per-view were you watching where Kane won the tag titles with Big Show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was Taboo Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2006.
And he was a face, and he was kind of like joking around.
No, the Brothers of Destruction, they were relevant. I know.
And Kane
had
a title run after that, too.
So ever since Brock came back from the UFC, he hasn't been relevant.
You can tell me corporate Kane wasn't relevant? Team Hell No was very relevant.
Oh, you're right. They were very relevant. In that they were getting Daniel Bryan over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now you win.
And then corporate Kane, of course, was over with us.
All right, but post putting in his bid for mayor and opening up his own insurance company.
Not relevant at all.
Not really relevant.
In the world of wrestling.
No, not
apparently
really.
He must be relevant in the world
and
of insurance.
And I love Kane. I think Kane's great. I don't entirely agree with his politics, but I love Kane. Hopefully he'll make a fine. I don't know. I would still love to see some poll numbers from Knox County.
Wasn't the election's not till May, right?
It's ways off, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're getting there, though, huh?
Still, they should have some numbers, yeah. You would think.
You would think.
This far in advance.
I mean, you'd think that, you know, he's doing this last run to build his war chest, his campaign war chest.
Yeah, I guess so.
And do his own internal polling. Because I guarantee you nobody else in that mayoral campaign race is doing internal polling.
No, you never know.
It's a mayor race.
I know.
Let me ask you something. Number one.
You know, a real aspiring politician would do their own polling.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, like if I were to run for mayor of Rancho.
Would you do your own polling? Internal polling?
Do they have deputy mayors? Would you be my deputy mayor?
No, I'd run against you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just concede. Then really? Can I be your deputy mayor?
Yeah, if you're willing to accept a lesser role, sure. I'm not willing to accept a lesser role, Steve.
Yeah, I know, but you just work more.
That's fine.
Yeah, and then I'd steal the thunder.
If you want to.
Yeah, I'll do that.
People know the mayor that gets all the real credit for the good things.
I'll be plotting behind your back.
The deputy mayor is throwing you in the bus.
Ever been a mayoral coup d'etat?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Like, we could be the first of that.
No, it's not going to happen.
No?
No. You're not going to overthrow me.
I'll come up from behind you with a shiv. And get
that's it. Less. That's more like just murder. At City Hall.
No, I just get you in the kidneys and then you'd be in Kaiser.
All right.
All right. Anyways, yeah, Paul Heyman, I don't know. I feel like our scenario.
Pretty typical Heyman promo.
I feel like our mayoral scenario that we were talking about is more interesting than Paul Heyman promo.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar doesn't care about a challenge or challengers or challengingist or challengingist.
Where the heck was Braun Strowman during this entire segment?
Oh, he was taking a nap, dude. You kidding me?
I know he was sick. I was actually, because he got sent home from the last tour because he had the flu too.
Yeah.
Apparently the flu is going to be really nasty this season, so be careful, everybody.
I'm going to get a flu shot.
Apparently, when I was out golfing, I was talking to friends, and I heard that the flu shots are only like 15% effective this year.
Oh, God. It's all going to hell, man. It's all going down. Anyways.
That's true. Verify that independently, by all means.
So Paul Heyman yammers away, and then they leave. They're about to leave, and Kane's music hits. Kane comes out, throws Brock down for a choke slam, and then Brock, as Kane is leaving, Brock does the sit-up Undertaker thing, which I guess Kane does too.
Kane does that too.
Yeah, and he laughs it off, basically.
Yeah.
And then he clotheslines Kane and himself over the top rope.
Well, no, he used the belt. Hit him with the belt.
Yeah, he did that. And then all of a sudden, the locker room appeared. They didn't run down the ramp.
Oh,
they
yeah,
just,
no, it's like they teleported.
They teleported in. It was like, they shimmered in. That was weird. Because all I saw was just Curt Hawkins there all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was Curt Hawkins and then the Revival and then the club were all out there.
Yeah.
I don't know why Finn Balor was out there. He shouldn't be out there. That's not quite as bad as Nakamura being a lumberjack, but it's pretty darn close.
That's just the role they see for Finn now. Finn is like one step above Curt Hawkins, dude. That's just where he is. It's so weird.
It is weird.
This is weird. It's frustrating and weird.
I know.
Anyways,
you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I'll answer some questions. We take our questions on the Patreon. $1 and up, you can get your question right here.
Correct.
Patreon.com/Steven Larson. Tokyo Dome Haze, is 2018 Kane's final year in the WWE?
Well, if he wins his mayoral race, then yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the internal polling numbers say.
Yeah, hopefully he has some internal
polling.
We
should do some polling ourselves. Come on, let's be some real wrestling journalists.
You want to be on? You want to start a Patreon poll?
No, we got to make some calls to residents, prospective
voters.
Can we
just do that?
Yeah, it's not against the law to call people. And
can we do it? Can we do it with robocalls?
I don't know how to set up robocalls.
I don't either.
Is there
press
a way?
Press one for yes, you'll vote for Kane. Press two for no.
For Kane. It's not Glenn Jacobs.
No, Kane.
Press one for Kane. Press two for Kane's opponent.
Would you prefer original Kane with the mask?
Would you prefer
unmasked Kane?
Corporate
Kane. Team Hell No Kane. Weird face Kane when he was tag champion with Big Show.
Undecided. Happy Kane.
Yeah, Happy Kane. That's the weirdest Kane, in my opinion.
That is the weirdest
Kane. Jose GGR. Is Elias the best used NXT call-up from 2017 on the main roster? I think so.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. You know, I'm honestly, he should have been like on something of what we did.
He did have a really good year.
He had a great year. From what we thought his ceiling was.
Which was not much.
Holy crap. He's huge now.
I know.
That's insane.
AO Worm, will they keep the club going long term? I hope so. Here's my dream. I said this to you before we started. It's not going to happen. This is what I think would be awesome.
That's
I can't really find a rationale for half of why this would happen.
Don't need it.
So, Finn, he's in the Rumble. He said that last night.
Yeah.
He wins. Somehow, he's denied his opportunity for the Universal title. Or says, I don't want that. I've already had it once. I want the title with the real prestige behind it, with the lineage. I want the WWE title.
And on top of that, I've already beat the guy who holds it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, give me AJ Styles at Mania.
Oh, man.
And now with the club at his side, mm-hmm. think of the story possibilities there.
Oh, so many story possibilities there.
It'd be real, Steve.
It'd be real.
It's not going to happen. That's what I'd like to have happen.
All right. Mr. Decent Corey Smith, how close was Michael Cole to calling Balor, Gallows, and Anderson the Bullet Club? I think Booker T was probably closer. If Booker T had, if he knew about New Japan, if he had ever gone to a Hot Topic,
I would have splashed water in my face.
He would have called them Bullet Club. Here they come, man, Bullet Club.
Nicholas Grosskirth, with Ambrose out up to 9 months, what are the chances Balor Club takes the Shield's place as the face nostalgia stable act on Raw in 2018? Ambrose isn't going to be out in 9 months. That sounds like way too long. Like a completely torn tendon was a six-month recovery.
Yeah.
And his was only about half torn. So, of course, that means a three-month recovery, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's only halfway torn.
Exactly half. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if your question is, our Balor Club... Now, I think the Shield was in place specifically to do the Roman Reigns thing.
Balor Club, I think, is in place because they have nothing for Finn to do.
But hey, dude, if they could use Jason Jordan kind of in the same way they used Sheamus before, use a guy that people hate more than Roman Reigns to get Roman Reigns popular.
Yeah.
They could use that.
Yeah.
They could do that.
They could. Drew Compton, everybody made a big deal about Finn being pulled from the Universal title picture, and then we get a Bullet Club reunion. Friendos, with the Jericho Omega match coming in a few days' time, could a WWE/New Japan crossover be in the works? Please speculate. Thanks, gents.
I'm going to say no.
No.
No, that would be, we would probably know about that stuff.
Yeah.
Not us specifically, but like, nobody would be able to keep that secret.
No.
Although at least nobody in the WWE would be able to.
No, although with Jericho going to Vince before the announcement, or before he showed the King of Pro Wrestling and said, hey, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And both Vince, from what we hear, Vince and Triple H's reaction, we're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's great, man. Go ahead. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't know, but, I mean, crazier things have happened, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know?
Cat, Daryl Takahashi, if AJ Styles is shipped to Raw or Balor, Gallows, and Anderson are shipped to SmackDown, then who is the leader of the club?
If AJ is shipped to Raw or the rest of the club shipped to SmackDown.
If all the club is on the same show, who is the leader? It's got to be Finn.
Who is leader?
Finn was original leader. It's got to be Finn.
I mean, but AJ was kind of more special leader, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he won in Japan. He was the IWGP heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's only because Prince Devitt was a junior heavyweight.
And he's WWE champion.
Yeah. But at the same time, Prince Devitt is real. He is for real.
Prince Devitt, then. It's Balor.
It's Balor.
Because he's real.
He is real. this is interesting. Jason the Cabby. Did anyone else notice the missing gem in the Universal title? It was the first thing I saw when Brock came out and had a hard time focusing on the rest of the end segment as a result. So let's power rank. Kayfabe reasons the gem was missing.
Number one, Brock ate it.
Brock took it out, sold it, bought more land.
I was going to say pawned it. Yeah, there you go.
I didn't even notice. I wonder where... What's the problem with the deal with the belts lately? Like losing things off.
Just falling apart. What the hell,
I mean,
man?
AJ, I kind of get because he's out on the road 5 days a week defending that title.
Well, here's the thing.
That belt just sits on Brock's mantle.
Man, we've seen them. We've seen how they treat these things. Like they're freaking, like they're fine china.
Yeah.
There's literally a belt dude. There's a belt guy. Like when we got to interview AJ last year.
Yeah.
There was a belt guy.
Yep.
Who had a little...
like a velvet sack.
Like a velvet sack, yeah, with belt in it.
They put the belt in when they were done with it. That is correct. Here, I'm going to look up pictures and see if I can see where the gem was missing from the belt. Can't tell from there. I mean, there's so many gems. I don't know which one's missing.
See if there's another head-on shot, because it's probably obvious if it's head-on. I can't tell.
Anyways, ask question.
Oh, man. Tommy T, can you pick one wrestler from the past and any current performer who is your favorite to watch grow and mature in the ring and on the mic? From today, it'd be Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because like his personality, his character grew so much from when he debuted on Main to what he is now.
I know. I guess the idea was, you know, like when he was in the Shield, he was always considered like the weak link on the mic. The
Shield.
Once he turned heel, it was like, man, this guy can actually really, really talk.
Yeah.
Of the past, I'd say The Rock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was something else.
These days, Elias.
Oh, yeah. Elias is fantastic. Nightcrawler. So in the WWE, pick one superstar and one sleeper pick that you guys think can have a longer title reign than CM Punk's and make it just as, if not more, entertaining. I'm going to say AJ Styles can have a longer title reign than CM Punk.
I think there's a good chance he might in 2018.
And in terms of wrestling, anyways, he's just as entertaining as CM Punk ever was.
What about a sleeper pick? Who's someone who you can put the world title on for that long and have it be entertaining?
Braun.
Oh, that's really a sleeper pick, though.
Oh, a sleeper pick?
Yeah.
His sleeper pick is The Miz.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd want to see The Miz as champion for 500 days. Is Finn a sleeper pick at this point?
Yeah.
Kind of feel like he is.
Here's your sleeper pick.
Oh.
Bobby Roode.
I'd say Sami Zayn is my sleeper pick.
Okay, that's good too.
Because, man, I
have Bobby Roode win the world title, WWE title as a face, and then turn heel.
There you go.
NXT Bobby Roode.
No,
have the
be
belt
great.
Forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Forever
he
and
goes
ever.
Back to being NXT Bobby Roode.
Absolutely. Broken Steve, would it have made more sense for Alexa to have beaten Asuka on Raw? I'm going to stop you there and say no.
No.
But he says, only to give Asuka more motivation to win the Rumble and get the title at Mania. No, because you can't end that streak like that.
No, not on Raw.
Not a chance. Ooh, we get to play Preview today.
We do.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Here, I had an idea. We're doing Wrestle Kingdoms. Oh. Old Wrestle Kingdoms.
Okay.
I have mine picked out, Wrestle Kingdom 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's, I think, 13 matches. Oh, there's two dark matches, so 11.
You have 11 matches?
11 matches.
Oh, very good, because Wrestle Kingdom 7 does as well. Stop looking at the stuff.
I can't even see that.
I know, crap. I just hit our YouTube page. Here we go.
Are you ready? I'll start.
I'm not ready yet. Compose to me. I'm sending myself the link, even though I could just Google it on my phone.
Yeah, just go to...
I like to take the scenic route sometimes.
All right, I'm going to start. We're going to do Play Per View now.
So what is Play Per View, Larson? It's the best wrestling trivia challenge.
Oh, it really is. So we take old pay-per-views and we quiz on each other on the results.
Exactly.
Are you ready? First, in a three-way tag match for the IWGP Tag Team Championships, we had Bad Intentions, who were Giant Bernard and Carl Anderson, versus Beer Money, of course, James Storm and Bobby Roode.
Whoa.
Versus Muscle Orchestra, who was Nakanishi, and Strongman.
Oh, it had to have been Albert and Machine Gun.
Yeah.
Nice, boy.
Bad intention. Is for real.
Next.
First,
what?
Your first match.
Oh, my first match. Okay.
Yeah, we alternate.
This is great. We had, so this is Wrestle Kingdom, what?
Seven,
okay. Chaos, which is a six-man tag match.
All right.
Chaos, Jado, Ishii, and Yoshihashi, a.k.a. Loose Explosion, took on Captain New Japan, Tama Tonga, and Wataru Inoue.
I mean, Bolden Soldier in the match. I'm assuming he lost.
Is that your answer?
Chaos.
Incorrect.
Oh, wow.
Oddly, I mean, this is, you got to figure, this is a couple, this is 5 years ago. Maybe still, Captain New Japan.
No, I thought he was always a jobber.
Was living up to his moniker.
Next, Hector Garza in Jushin Thunder Liger.
Okay.
Took on Mascara Dorado and La Sombra.
Ooh, wow. El Idolo. I'm going to say, Jushin Liger won.
You should have stuck with your
initial. El Idolo won.
Tranquilo.
Damn it. All right. Second match. Boy, I love pay-per-view. It's my new favorite.
Yeah, you'll love it.
The team of another six-man tag match.
Wow.
Lots of multi-man matches. Bushi, Kushida, and Taguchi took on Hiromu Takahashi, Thunder Liger. I'm assuming Hiromu Takahashi was a young lion at the time.
Maybe, yeah.
Because he just got back from excursion.
Yeah, yeah.
Ticking Time Bomb.
Yeah.
Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask.
The other team.
Correct.
Next, Tenzan versus Iizuka in a deep sleep to lose match.
Oh, wow.
The match, this is according to Wikipedia, the match could only be won by choking the opponent unconscious.
Oh.
So Tenzan versus Iizuka.
Iizuka. Isn't Iizuka that big dude?
Yeah. And Suzuki-gun.
Yeah, but he had to have been a young lion. I'm going to say Tenzan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice. Third match, an eight-man tag team match.
All right.
Akebono, Nakanishi, MVP, and Strongman took on Chaos, which included Bob Sapp, Takashi Iizuka, Yano, and Yujiro Takahashi.
Chaos.
Yeah, Chaos won. No, no, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Akebono.
Wow.
Nakanishi.
I guess.
Strongman. John Anderson. Yeah, I don't know who that Strongman is.
Next, in a hardcore match, Yano versus Rob.
Are you serious?
Damn.
That sounds amazing. RVD.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
I'm not doing too well.
Masato Tanaka,
okay,
versus Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, wow.
In a match for the Never Open Weight Championship. Tanaka came in as champion.
Okay. Tanaka.
Very good.
Next, Yuji Nagata versus Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, I'll say Suzuki won.
Nope.
Wow, okay. Didn't know the landscape of the land there.
Nope.
The lay of the land at the time. Okay, next. Match five. Killer Elite Squad, which at the time was still Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer.
Mm-hmm.
They came in as champions, IWGP Tag Team Champions.
Okay.
Their challengers were Sword and Guns, who was Goto, and Carl Anderson.
Carl.
Who evidently had Anderson. Any number of partners during his time in New Japan.
Tag team specialist.
Yeah. So Killer Elite Squad, the champions versus Sword and Guns.
Killer Elite Squad.
Very good.
Next, a match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Your champion, Prince Devitt.
Is real.
Is real.
Is real.
Versus Kota Ibushi.
Oh, it's probably a really good match. Who came in as champion?
Prince Devitt.
Okay. I'll say Devitt retained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real. Next, Yuji Nagata took on Minoru Suzuki. Wait a second.
Suzuki.
No! Nagata won!
Wow, he just had Suzuki's number.
He did.
All right. Takashi Sugura.
Okay.
And Yoshihiro Takayama versus Goto and Okada.
I'll say Goto and Okada.
Nope.
Wow. Takayama?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know who that is? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Who am I thinking of? Interesting. Oh, wait. Was this the match? Maybe not. Maybe it was. No, I don't think it was. Anyways. Three-way match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
All right.
Prince Devitt coming in as champion.
Real.
Took on Kota Ibushi and Low Ki.
Oh. I'll say Kota Ibushi.
Prince Devitt. Real.
Prince Devitt. Next, for the TNA World Championship.
Yes!
Tetsuya Naito versus your champion,
okay,
Jeff Hardy. Gimme.
I knew Tetsuya Naito was never team. All right, next up we have a tag team match featuring Tenkozy, which is Tenzin and Kojima.
Yeah.
Took on Kaiji Muto and Shinjiro Otani.
Okay. I'll say the second team one.
No.
Wow, I'm doing horribly.
No, Tenkozy won.
No. Next, Go Shiozaki.
Okay.
Versus the King of Strong Style.
Oh, I'll say the King of Strong Style.
Yeah.
Nice. I've got six. Match number nine in a singles match.
Yeah.
Makabe versus Shibata.
Oh, Makabe.
Very good. Shibata's probably,
Yeah. Makabe versus Masato Tanaka.
I'll keep the streak alive. Makabe.
Yeah.
All right. Match 10. The King of Strong Style, the artist Shinsuke Nakamura, for the came in as champion, IWGP Intercontinental Champion, took on Kazushi Sakuraba.
I'll say Nakamura.
Yeah.
Main event.
Okay.
Your champion, leader of Bread Club, Kojima.
Okay.
Versus Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I'll say Tanahashi.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's his first title win.
All right. I've got eight.
Man, I got five.
All right. Well, you've got one chance to get this within two.
Okay.
Your main event.
Main event.
Singles match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. The challenger, Kazuchika Okada. Versus the champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Okada.
Tanahashi.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I beat you by three, I think.
I am apparently not real.
You are not real. Anyways, I'll get some cards or something. Anyways, that's it for the show. That was a great idea doing Wrestle Kingdoms.
Yeah.
Awesome. There's some Hilton music for you. Thanks, Hilton. How was your New Year's, Hilton? That's awesome. He said it was good. Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for watching. Until next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.